Let's take our books again and we'll turn to the very next page, number 20. Sweeter as the years go by.
At its best, but it's down in the truly put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God. Still God in the night, for the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God. Is still God in the night, and the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day, He's still God in the night.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and starting at verse 36. Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 36. We're going to be talking about the need to be watching for the Lord to come back. And the Lord's going to encourage His disciples to be looking for the day when He will return. They didn't quite understand everything, but after they would begin to understand things more clearly after Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again, then He ascended back to heaven. He's coming back again someday. He's coming back to this earth to set up a kingdom here with Israel. He's also coming back for us, the church. And so all of us need to take the teaching here of the Lord to be watching. We are a watching and waiting people. I don't know, do you know that? We're saved, born again. We're glad for the grace of God that has forgiven us of our sins. But now you know what we're doing? Not only as we live each day here and try to witness and help others come to know Christ as Savior, we're also waiting for something to happen. We're watching for the Lord to come back for the church, just as Israel should be and will be watching in the tribulation time for the Lord to come back to deliver them and to set up His kingdom. So here we go, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, and of course that's the way we say it in the New Testament. Who is this person we're talking about here?
Noah.
Noah of the Old Testament. Noah's flood. By the way, the very fact that Jesus talks about the days of Noah gives credence or credibility to the literalness of the book of Genesis. God did judge this world with a universal flood at one time in the days of Noah. But as the day, you know what? There are a lot of preachers, men in churches, who do not believe in the literalness of the man Noah or the flood that happened in his day. They don't believe in it. They just believe it's a story that was handed down and written in the book of Genesis. I believe it literally took place. And so did Jesus, as he talks about. There's no information in here that Jesus is saying, I'm telling you a story that really didn't happen. No, he's giving it out as literal, something that did take place in the past. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Here we have the time element of the second coming of Christ. The Father is the only one who knows the day and the hour. So, you know, you hear preachers try to say, well, we think we've narrowed it down to a certain month or day when the Lord's going to come back. Even in the teaching of the rapture of the church, we believe that there's going to be a certain time when the rapture will take place. Men have come and gone who've set dates. We shouldn't set dates. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. Even in the tribulation time, they won't know the day or the hour he's going to come back. We do know it'll be at the end of the 7 years, but to say, well, it's going to be at this exact moment when the Lord, no man knows. When the Father is going to say to the Son, go on down. We don't know when the Lord's going to come for us in the rapture. We've been told it's to be an imminent thing, something that could happen at any time. The writer of the information about the rapture, Paul himself, said, we which are alive and remain. He thought it very well could be that he could still be alive and remaining when the Lord comes in the rapture of the church. Well, here we are, 1900 plus years later, and the rapture still has not taken place. But I do believe it could take place at any time. We're to be watching for it. But we do not know the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back in his second coming at the end of the tribulation time either. But it says, as the day of Noah was. The Noahic flood is a good example. There was an element of surprise for the coming of the flood. Verse 37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They didn't know when the flood was going to take. Many of them didn't even believe that a flood would even take place. People today don't know when the Lord's coming back. And there are many who do not even believe the Lord will ever come back. I do. I believe the Bible teaches the Lord is coming back. And what will happen? The lost will carry on as usual right up to the time. Verse 38, for as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating, drinking, doing whatever men do in life until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Look at Luke chapter 17, if you would. Just go to Luke 17 and verse 26 and 27. Luke 17, 26 and 27. A parallel passage where Luke talks about the same thing the Lord is talking about here. In verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Until the day, to the very day, they kept on going. The element of surprise was there in Noah's day, just as it will be when the Lord comes back. The knowledge of their doom will be empty until it is too late. They knew on the day that the water started coming down that it was real. Noah and his family had already gone inside the ark 7 days prior to this, and then the flood waters started to come from inside the earth and from the heaven above and covered the whole earth. And they knew at that time, but their doom, it was too late. It is too late. And the same thing is going to happen when the Lord comes back. When he comes back in a rapture, it's going to be too late for people to join into that great body of believers called the church We'll be caught up and out of here. At the end of the tribulation time, when the Lord comes back at the end of 7 years, it's going to be too late for people to change their mind about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming in judgment, and they're going to be lost in that day. And back there in Matthew chapter 24, as Noah was taken up in the ark, so the saved during this time will be caught away to be with the Lord. You know that? We believe in what is called the rapture of the church. I hope you do. Rapture. We're going up at any moment, and we're going to be caught away to be with the Lord. Just as Noah went into that ark and he was lifted up above the waters of judgment and carried through the flood waters and so forth, so we are going to be preserved from the judgment that's going to come on this earth as a church. We're going up. And then at the end of 7 years, another coming of the Lord, but not just into the air, but down to this earth. And it's interesting what it says here about two people being in the field. Look at verse 40 and 41. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. That is not a description of the rapture, all right? You can't put that in there and insert that in there. Although it might sound good. You might think that the one being taken is the one going up in the rapture. Well, the teaching of the church and the rapture of the church was not being done here by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to the nation of Israel about his second coming, when he comes from heaven down to this earth on the Mount of Olives and set his feet there and destroy the wicked armies gathered there at Armageddon and setting up his kingdom. What's going to happen there? The ones being taken away are the unsaved. They're going to be rooted out so that only those who are left are the saved ones who are going into the kingdom. So the ones being left in the field are going to be going into the kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. The others, as we will see later on in the 25th chapter, are the goats who are going to be cast into, it says, the lake of fire before the beginning of the kingdom age. So I know there are some who want to use that passage there as a description of the rapture, but it's not. It's a description of the second coming of the Lord to destroy the Antichrist and his armies and to set up his kingdom. The ones being taken away are the lost, are the unrepentant ones. And he's going to cleanse the earth of the wicked and set up his kingdom, starting it out with only those who are saved ones, believers. Sheep, as mentioned in Matthew 25. So you might have to wait a week or two till we get to that chapter. Chapter 25, starting there at verse 31, gives us the judgment of the nations, how the Lord is going to prepare the people for going into his kingdom. Only the saved are going in there. The lost are going to be rooted out and be dealt with in judgment. And I believe that's what verses 40 and 41 are talking about. Because the Lord is not talking about the church age at all in these passages here in the book of Matthew. This is all about Israel. Now, there are some things that have to do with this when he talks about the kingdom of heaven. Because it kind of takes in both the church age, the tribulation time, and the starting of the kingdom age. So some of his words and things that he talks about do apply, but he is not revealing the church and the doctrines of the church, such as the rapture of the church here in his speaking to the disciples. It wouldn't make sense for him to talk to the disciples about things that have to do with the church. That was a mystery, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, unheard of, not even talked about until Paul comes around. So for Jesus to be revealing things about the rapture here just doesn't make sense. He's talking to the people of Israel and the disciples. But he's telling them, look, you do not know when the Lord's coming back, so you need to be ready. And that's what verses 42 through 44 are about. Look here. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And in another place it even says, as a thief he will come. And how does a thief come? Does he write you a letter and say, next week I'm going to come and break into your house and steal everything? No, he doesn't tell you ahead of time. He doesn't call you up in the morning and say, don't go anywhere because I'm going to come and steal everything you have. No, he waits till you're not thinking about it, and then he intrudes into your place and steals everything. If you knew the hour he was going to come, you would have been there with a shotgun, right? Ready to shoot him as soon as he came in the door. But that's not how it's going to be when the Lord comes back. People are not going to know. They're not going to be ready. But the believers are to be ready. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's something that he says to us about being ready. He doesn't tell us when he's coming back, but he says, be ready for my coming at any time. And we in the church age, we do know that we've been taught that at any moment the Lord's going to come in the air and we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. But he has not told us when, but he has told us to be watching for it, looking for it, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our sight. See, it says looking for, waiting for it. And that's how you and I should be. One of the main things that we should be thinking about is the Lord could come for the church at any time. Just like the believers in the tribulation time are going to be encouraged by these scriptures here to be waiting for the Lord to come at any time. To do what? To deliver Israel from their enemies, from the Antichrist and from the armies that are gathered around Jerusalem. He's coming to deliver them. And it could be at any time. And they're to be ready. And so he gives them these things, parables here that we're going to read about being ready. In verse 45, he talks about who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. By the way, New Modern Versions leave out the words his coming. And it only says this, my Lord delayeth. No, wait a minute. My Lord delayeth his coming. That's what the whole context is about. You know what? Don't hold on to a corrupt version of the Bible. Hang on to your King James Version. It's giving you everything that's been preserved down through the ages here. My Lord delayeth his coming. Those two words are important. His coming is what this servant is saying. The Lord's not coming back. Verse 49. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. So what am I to get out of that? I'm to get out of that, that as a faithful servant, I'm to serve until the Lord comes back and be ready at any moment for him to come back. The children of Israel in the tribulation time are being told here to be occupying, do the things you need to do on a daily basis, waiting for the Lord to come back at any time. An evil servant is characterized by a departure from the doctrine of the second coming. He's saying, my Lord delayeth his coming. I want to tell you that when someone teaches something like this, the Lord's not going to come back till halfway through the tribulation time. You know what? They're actually setting a time when the Lord's going to come back. And that he's delaying his time from the beginning of the tribulation till halfway through. He's delaying his time. Or some teach that he's not coming till after the millennium is done. He's going to come back. The millennium will come in, a great kingdom will be on earth here without the Lord being present. And at the end of 1,000 years, that's when he will return. You know what they're doing? They're delaying his coming. And they are an evil servant who do such things as that and teach doctrines that depart from the second coming. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter, the apostle to the Jews, writes a letter to the early Christian Jews, and he talks about the second coming of the Lord. In Second Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? See, they're going to teach a doctrine departing from the truth of the second coming of the Lord. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's the teaching of uniformitarianism, that everything has just always just been going on all along. And the Lord's not coming back. There's not going to be an end to this. Evolution is going to keep on going. No. You know, evolutionists do not believe in a God. They don't believe in the Son of God. They don't believe that he's coming back again. They believe that everything's going to just continue on as it always has, as they think it always has, and just keep on progressing and evolving along. Yesterday I was reading the newspaper and they were talking about how that some genes have evolved, and that when grandchildren teach their grandparents, that somehow that teaching changes their genes or something like that and causes them not to get dementia. There's less and less dementia going on, they say, percentage-wise, because the children are teaching the parents certain things and their parents are responding in such a way that it's causing their genes to change so that they don't get dementia. Such silly talk going on. They believe in this evolution and it has become their God. And evolution is their God. No, God is God, and he's sending his son back to this earth someday. They're going to scoff at that and say, where is the promise? Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That has reference to Noah's flood. And they want to deny the Noahic flood, the universal flood. And there is testimony of it all over the face of this earth. Testimony of what? That God flooded this earth with water long time ago. But they deny it. For this they are willingly ignorant of. And just as the flood of Noah came upon the world and they didn't know it was coming and it took them by surprise, so also is the coming of the Son of Man going to be the same way. And it doesn't matter if their evil servant says, oh, the Lord delayeth his coming. He's not coming. And he begins to smite his fellow servants and do what he wants. These servants do not have a shepherd's heart who teach that the Lord's delaying his coming. If they want to teach he's not coming until halfway through the tribulation or after the tribulation or after the millennium, they're delaying the Lord's coming. He has said he's going to come for the church before judgment comes on this earth. He's saying he's coming to this earth after the 7 years of tribulation is done. He said that's when he's going to come back. Don't delay it. Try to push it off with your doctrines and so forth. He's coming back. A faithful servant. What does he do in this passage here? The blessed servant, or blessed is that servant, verse 46, whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. The faithful servant is serving and living for his master until he comes. And he has a position of responsibility in his household. You know, I kind of think of this servant who's the good servant here, almost like a pastor of a church in a way. He has a position of responsibility in the household. He's to give his servants meat. Look at what it says here. Up there in verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? What is he doing? He's taking care of the household and he's giving his servants meat. What does a pastor do? He takes care of the church and he gives the people meat to eat, spiritual meat, when he preaches the word of God. And they take it in, they eat it up, and they grow by those things that he's giving them. That's the job of a preacher today. Give them meat. Until the Lord comes back, just feed them. Feed them. I remember one time I invited a pastor to come to the church, and I was concerned that he would make sure that he would preach the word of God to you folks. And I said to him, you know what I want you to do when you come? I want you to feed my lambs. That's what the Lord said to Peter. Feed my lambs. While I'm gone, Peter, you feed my lambs. I'm coming back. While I'm gone, you feed my lambs. And that's the job of a pastor, to feed the people. I just want to take you to some verses here. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Paul's talking to a group of elders in the church of Ephesus. By the way, he's talking to a plurality of elders in the church of Ephesus. Just for your thought life there. Verse 28, he says to them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Paul encourages the preachers of the church, feed the church. Feed them. What do you feed them with? You don't just feed them with fancy stories and talk about yourself. Feed them the word of God. Give them the Bible. Preach the Bible verse by verse and feed them so that they can grow and learn the things they need to know. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Go all the way toward the book of Revelation. You'll find Hebrews 13 and verse 17. The job of a preacher, a job of a faithful servant in the household of the Lord. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There the writer of Hebrews is telling the believers, obey them that have the rule over you. And it's talking about your pastor, the elders of your church. Obey them. That doesn't mean, you know, become slaves to them, but what are they doing? They are watching for your souls. This pastor cares about your souls. First of all, that your soul is saved and going to heaven. Some of you went to churches for many years and never once did the pastor say, are you saved? Are you ready to die? If you die today, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? I mean, you would have gone to hell if you stayed in that church. That man would have never saved your soul by the preaching of the gospel. Now, I know the Lord saves your soul, but, you know, he preaches to save your soul, to get it saved so that you're ready to go to heaven. And then after you're saved, he wants to feed you the doctrines of the Word of God so that you can grow in your faith and your understanding of what God has done for you, what he's doing right now, what he's going to do in eternity. And that's the job of the pastor. And notice, it says you're to obey them, submit yourselves to them, because they do it that they may do it with joy. You know, someday your pastor is going to stand before the Lord and have to give account to him. Just like this household servant back here in Matthew chapter 24, you have to give account to the Lord for your ministry. And you, as the ones who are the recipients of the ministry, are to obey and submit yourselves to the teacher, the preacher, because I have to give an account to the Lord for you. I have to account to the Lord for what I've done to you, how I've taught you. And I'm sure you want me to do that with joy, okay? That's what it says there, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, you can make life miserable for your preacher. You know how? By not obeying or submitting to anything he has to say. By contradicting, by going contrary to what he has to say. Say, well, I don't believe him. Well, you know what? You're supposed to obey and submit. Because he has to give an account to the Lord for what he has taught you. And you want to respond to that teaching in a good way so that he can do it with joy and not be grieved over it. You know, a good pastor always knows when you're in church and when you're not in church. Okay? He always knows when you're missing. He always knows when you're not enjoying the things of the Lord, or you're not happy, or you're depressed. He should be able to see that. He should know you good enough that he's saying, so-and-so is having a hard time. It's my responsibility to encourage them and strengthen them, teach them the word of God so that they do this serving of the Lord with joy, and so that I can be joyful too. Oh boy. Many of you probably don't know, but I can just tell you, many pastors stay up late at night, unable to sleep. And you know why? Because some of the sheep are having trouble. They're not responding to the preaching and the doctrine as they should. And many a pastor can't even go to sleep at night as he is concerned about the souls in his church. And that's the way it ought to be. But you know what? You ought to respond in such a way that you don't cause that grief. All right? You don't cause that pastor having to stay up late at night wondering where you are, why haven't you been around, and why are you not responding to the word of God and the Spirit's teaching to you. Oh, make it easy on your pastor, okay? Respond and obey and submit to the things that he's teaching you that are right. Now, if he's teaching you error, well, then go somewhere else and find some pastor who's preaching the truth, you know? But if he's preaching the truth, respond to that, obey to that. Like this householder back over here in Matthew 24. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, back there in Matthew 24:47, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. You know, the Lord, you know, when the Lord's standing there saying that, make him ruler over all his goods, what does the Lord have? He doesn't have anything. He doesn't even have a kingdom yet. All he has is 12 disciples, and one of them's already thinking about betraying him. And Peter is going to betray him too until he hears the cock crow. And then he goes out crying about that and repenting of his way. Who is this Lord going to, how is he going to give him rule over all his goods? He's talking about a day when he comes back to set up his kingdom. He's going to give this servant a job to do in his kingdom and make him ruler over all his goods. But the evil servant who says, the Lord's not coming back, you know, he is going to be given what it says, verse 51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That evil servant is under judgment, which will come when he is not aware of it. Because he's been preaching during tribulation time that the Lord's delaying is coming. He's not coming back. Look at the way the Antichrist is developing here and progressing here. The Lord's going to delay his coming. Oh, no. No, no, he's coming back. He's coming back for sure. And you better be ready. And so should we during this church age be ready for the Lord to come back. Next week we're going to look at chapter 25 and we're going to see the 10 virgins which took their lamps and went out to get ready for the bridegroom to come. And they, 5 of them had oil, 5 did not. We're going to take a look at that next week. It's a very beautiful picture of being ready when the Lord comes back. And you and I need to be ready for the rapture of the church at any time. So I hope that encourages you to be watchful, be ready, and don't listen to these who will say the Lord's not coming back till this time, that time, or those who want to set dates. Don't listen to them. They're false prophets. They don't know the hour. We don't know when the Lord's coming back for us in a rapture. Could be at any time. It could be today. It could be this afternoon. Wouldn't that be great? You know what? We should be looking for it. We should be waiting for it. And desiring it. The Bible ends with John saying to the Lord, who said, I'm coming quickly. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. That's 1900 years ago. I don't know about you, but I think that it's got to be happening pretty soon. Pretty soon. I'm looking at all the signs of the times and things going on. Every day it seems like another piece of the puzzle falls into place, preparing for the end times with the nations and all the things they're doing. You know, in the book of Daniel, it says that the Antichrist will seek to change seasons. Does that sound something like climate change, maybe? They just signed a deal. They signed a deal. We're all going to get into place to, you know, knock 2 or 3 degrees off of the weather. What foolishness. They are not in control of the weather. The Lord is in control of the weather. This is just another. You know what? I believe the world's getting prepared to believe a lie. Getting prepared to believe a lie. And all these things are lies. Evolution is a lie. Climate change is a lie. That we need to get all the religions of the world together is a lie. The Lord is not coming back. The Bible is not true. That's a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible is true. There's a man coming who's going to say, I am Christ. Now, how is the world going to accept that unless they've all... Oh, by the way, Santa Claus is a lie. Okay, how is the world going to accept this Antichrist as the Christ, as the Messiah? Even Israel for a season is going to be deceived into this, thinking that he is their Messiah. They're being prepared. One lie after another. The world is following after it. Don't you follow it. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your mind in the book, the Word of God, and you won't fall for these lies. The Bible says in the end times it's going to be a very deceptive time. Men are going to be deceiving and deceiving themselves all the time. Deception is going on. And who is the father of this? The devil. The dragon in Book of Revelation, the red dragon. He is the father of lies. That's what Jesus said. So, be watching for the Lord to come back at any time. And living like you're expecting the Lord to come back at any time. Like that faithful servant. Not the evil servants. Oh, he delays it. Nah, be faithful. Let's serve the Lord. Let's be good servants for him, looking for him to come back at any time for the church. And Israel will have to do the same thing in the tribulation time when they finally get things straightened out in their mind. We're waiting for the Lord to come back. He's promised to come and set up his kingdom and destroy this wicked one. If you search in the Old Testament scriptures, I know I'm going on, I'm sorry. But if you search in the Old Testament scriptures, in the prophets and in the Psalms, you will see that people during the end of the tribulation time are actually going to be praying what are called imprecatory prayers, that God would judge that wicked one, the Antichrist, and all the followers of him, and all those who line up against Israel and persecute them and chase them. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about how they're going to be chased out of Judea and they're going to be held in Petra, protected in the city called Petra. And they're going to cry out that the Lord would judge them. Wow. They're looking for the Lord to come back then, and we're looking for the Lord to come back for the church. Let's be watchful. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to be watchful. Let's help us, Lord, to be serving you faithfully until that day comes. We don't know when it's going to come. You haven't told us that. But you've told us to be faithful while we wait and while we look for him to come. And Lord, as John even said, and as Peter put out there, we're hastening the day. We look forward to the day when the Lord will come for his church. And we pray that it would be soon. But till then, help us to be faithful servants for you. Help me as the pastor of this church to be a faithful preacher and to preach the word and teach the people. And help us all to be looking for the Lord's return at any moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.